David Hawkins is editor-in-chief of The Fulcrum, a news outlet focused on reversing dysfunction in American government. He's also former senior editor of CQ and Roll Call. Okay, David Hawkins, I'm so happy to see you with us. You are so bright, and you come from a class of people who really understand politics. And he's a man who doesn't wear socks, which means he is in the elite class. So, David, what do we take from Joe Biden's victory in this presidential race?
Well, that's a big question. So my construct is a follow me on this construct. Joe Biden won the presidency, but in many ways, Donald Trump still won the election. Trumpism is not defeated. Donald Trump got 10% more human beings to come out and vote for him this time than he did 4 years ago. Every conceivable challenge that he faced, and he is still at getting 48% of the vote. His party, the Republicans, who were described by their critics as sycophants and toadies for sticking up with the president, almost all of them won. There was no price to be paid among the Republicans for sticking up for the president. Not a single state legislature switched. Other than the big prize, and it is of course the enormous prize in the way our system works, the Republicans essentially have won everything else.
So, David Hawkins, was this really about anything other than kicking Trump out? In other words, was this a Trump election or was this a Trump Biden's election?
I think that's right. I think the country decided that they didn't want that guy running the country anymore, but they still want a center to center right government, or at least a centrist government. And this was a narrow rejection of him as and his persona, but not really of the outsider, take no prisoners, rail against the status quo kind of politics that he championed.
Now, David Hawkins, nobody knows Congress better than you do. And now we refer you to the runoff elections that are going to take place in Georgia. There'll be so much money coming in there, they'll have to learn how to swim in money. And I want to know what your take is on that election. Right now, according to the polls, who wants to talk about polls? According to the polls, both Democrats are leading.
Yeah, isn't that, that's something. I mean, so looks like we're going to get a presidential winner that's Joe Biden in Georgia narrowly. Both Raphael Warnock, the preacher, the pastor of Dr. King's Church, Ebenezer Baptist Church, has ran a terrific and largely problem-free first round in the campaign. All the anger and anxiety and agitation in his race in the first round was between the two Republicans who thought either one of them would clean Warnock's clock in a runoff. So he emerges looking pretty darn good. John Ossoff. Similarly, I mean, you know, he's so, as you say, it's going to be head spinning the amount of money that gets spent. And of course, the key thing, I think, is the date of the election. It's January 5th. You know, nothing says let down after the holidays than going out and voting. Ha ha ha. I mean, so the big challenge is, are you going to get the coalition that put Biden narrowly over the top, which of course is centered in the black community and in getting black voters in Atlanta and in the other black majority counties to come out and vote on January 5th. I don't know. I should know by now whether there's early in-person voting or mail-in voting for these races. I don't know yet. But either way, all that would be happening over the holidays. It's going to be tough. And of course, the future, in some ways, the future of the Biden presidency rests on it. Here is your crazy historical nerd fact for the day, which is the last time a Democrat became president with a Republican Senate was 1885. Grover Cleveland was the last Democrat who became president with a Republican Senate.
So I got a letter today. It's a political science full professor and all the honors that one could have expected in one's life. I didn't know the answer to. And the question was, I think I know the answer, which is that if it's 50-50, what happens, who becomes the majority leader? Now, I've always thought, you know, that the vice president calls the shots. But I know that there are some things the vice president doesn't contribute to, and I wonder what you know about this.
So I do know a little bit about this because the last time there was a 50-50 Senate was 2000, was it 2001, the start of the George W. Bush administration. People forget that the essentially tied presidential election of 2000, the one settled by the Supreme Court over 530 votes in Florida, also produced a 50-50 Senate. And the way it works, quite simply, as so many other things happen in the Senate, is the senators had to work it out for themselves. Trent Lott, then the Republican leader, and Tom Daschle, then the Democratic leader, had to come up with what is called an organizing resolution, which is essentially an internal rule book for how the rules are going to work. And they negotiated this for weeks, and in the end, the agreement was that because of the theoretical ability of Dick Cheney, the Republican vice president, to break a tie, it would be Lott, the Republican, who would be called the majority leader, and he would have most, but not quite all, of the majority leader's powers, which more than anything is the ability to sort of orchestrate the way the Senate works from day to day, which bills are going to be called up next, what nomination is going to be called up next, when they're going to go home, when the votes are going to be. That is the majority leader's sort of logistical clout that is granted to him or her, there's never been a her, by the other senators. It's an arrangement to essentially where the other 99 senators put aside their own parliamentary powers and say, look, to keep the place running somewhat orderly way, we'll let the majority leader sort of orchestrate the day. And that's what happened 20 years ago. That deal was only good for that Congress 20 years ago. It only had to work for 6 months because 6 months later, some of your leaders, listeners in the Northeast may remember Senator Jim Jeffords of Vermont, who'd been a Republican, decided to become a Democrat, and it became a Democratic majority, and they had to reorganize the whole thing to put Tom Daschle in charge.
Yeah, that was really something. Just on one guy changes parties and changes the history of America. Amazing.
It was quite something. So in the absence of that, yes, you'd have a very... Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell would have to work out a new deal. Probably what it would mean, what the Democrats would want in that, what the Republicans would want, since they would be technically in the minority because of Kamala Harris in the presiding officer's chair to break a tie. What the Republicans would negotiate for would be an equal number of seats, essentially an equal number of seats on each committee, equal budgets, equal ability to bring to maybe put some things on the Senate floor. Their negotiating power would be pretty significant because without their cooperation, the Senate really can't do diddly.
Diddly is right. We don't have a lot of time, but let me ask you this. What happens if Trump doesn't concede?
Conceding is one thing, leaving, you know, packing his own suitcase and is another, right?
I didn't say conceit. I said concede.
Concede. So, no, concede. I say he's conceded.
Right.
Yes, that was
right.
If he doesn't concede, so what? He's in. You know, he goes. He came in impolite. He goes out impolite. The question is whether, on January 20th, when everybody's attention is turned to the Capitol, whether he packs and his bags, slip into a minivan and drive away.
Would he be let out by the elbows?
He could, yes. I mean, in theory, I mean, the way I see it and a few people I've talked to about this, if a 12:01 p.m. on Inauguration Day, which is when the Constitution says the presidency changes hands, he would be a private citizen, he'd be trespassing, and he'd be taken out.
Well, that's enough for today, David Hawkins. We love the fact that you're with us, and you'll be coming back with us real shortly. So everybody, stay tuned for the great David Hawkins. We'll talk to him again the next time.
Thank you.